Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. And of course, we invite you to be a part of the program here on Canucks Central. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at dunbarlumber.com. We'll read your texts and questions through the course of the program. Plus, you can also get in touch with us on X and on Blue Sky. I saw that a number of our Canuck Central listeners were happy that Blue Sky got a mention yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
trying to spread the word of Canucks Blue Skyers.
We just try to make sure we reach all Canucks fans.
Yes.
As much as possible. And a few thousand Canucks fans are over there, so we have a presence. And we appreciate that you are happy we're there.
There is one very big commonality between Xers and Blue Skyers right now.
What's that?
They are very worried about the Vancouver Canucks and where things stand. Let's get into it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Ah! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Canucks are practicing out at UBC today, and they will head out for their Eastern road swing tomorrow. It begins in Ottawa on Saturday, late afternoon. It is a 4 o'clock start. Of course, you'll hear it here on Sportsnet 650. But they head out on that six-game roadie after finishing a six-game homestand in which they went 2-4, continuing their poor form on home ice, a 4-3 loss to the New York Rangers. And we've gotten to the point where expectations were here at the start of the season, and because of all of the injuries and absences that the Canucks are currently dealing with, expectations are now to the point where, well, they put in a good effort, but still came up a little short to the New York Rangers last night.
It was moral victory time last night.
We're in moral victory season. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing right now, 17 games into the year.
Sign of the times. Honestly,
18 games into the year.
Honestly, it's just the reality of the situation you find yourself in, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were uber critical of their form prior to the Rangers game on home ice and some of the poor performances. And as much as they were better against the Preds, they still let themselves down in certain key moments, and they made some mistakes and some habits they still have to clean up and ended up costing them in a 5-3 loss against the Preds. But the effort was at least better, right?
Yeah.
Last night, the effort was there. They worked as hard as we've seen them work so far. They were just not good enough.
Yeah.
That was simply what it was. There was a couple of bad bounces too against them and whatever, but on paper, the Rangers were the better team.
Yep.
And we'll talk to Woodley, but it was interesting looking at Clear Sight Analytics, their model, and Stephen Valiquette put it out on social media. They had it at 4-3 expected goals. So, you know, it was a pretty fair score, I think. But you probably still felt like the Canucks could have earned something out of that game, which was a little bit disappointing. But nobody has a problem with the effort last night.
No. Nobody has a problem with the effort. It was the Islanders game that really garnered the effort conversation, and the Canucks did and have picked it up since then. I still think there's a lot of issues with their rush defense and some things that they need to clean up. Like, they were so good at winning close games last year because they were so clean in big moments, and they were able to get that big save when they needed it most. And that's something that certainly through this homestand eluded them, along with some of the effort concerns. But one thing that's been a consistent all year is the concern about their defenders.
Yeah.
And two specifically in Carson Soucy and Tyler Myers. And now you look after another night where they give up two goals while on the ice together in 204 minutes played. They've been on the ice for 5 goals for and 13 against. You know, there's a few other pairs that have given up more goals, but they're actually also on the ice for some goals scored.
Yeah.
Whereas Soucy and Myers, there's not much offense happening. they're playing a lot in the defensive zone, and they're giving up a lot of goals. And it takes away, you know, Quinn has that great moment early on and scores that big goal, captain putting the team on his shoulders kind of thing. But as it's been a story almost all year long, Soucy and Myers are giving away what Hughes and Hronek have been able to accomplish on the ice in their minutes.
Yeah, and I think what everybody is asking and wanting to know is, will they, can they improve this blue line?
Mm-hmm.
For now, it's about internal improvements, and the coach, you know, we'll get to Soucy in a bit, but the coach has talked about how maybe they do have to split guys up, Hronek and Hughes, at some point if this continues, but you want to try to see if you can work through this. And I think that's what you do in the immediate until, you know, help arrives.
Even when answering it today, he still seemed pretty set on keeping the pairs as they are.
He wants to do everything he can to get these guys to work their way out of it.
Yeah.
It's very clear, right? And I know fans want to see a trade. The Canucks find themselves in a position, however, now, where making a trade is not easy. They are trying to accrue cap space. Right now, that is difficult with the number of injuries that they have. It's getting less and less, but they're still on track to perhaps have $4 to $5 million at least come the trade deadline. Potentially more if guys get healthy and they can have a bit more cushion between the cap ceiling, so they can maybe get even a bit more. So the entire plan has been buy yourself as much time as possible, mm-hmm. get as much cap space as possible, and then you can make bigger, more significant additions, potentially. At the same time, maybe your hand gets forced.
Yeah.
Maybe an opportunity arises you can't say no to. But the reality of where the Canucks find themselves, and if you want the Canucks to make additions to their blue line, you're not going to be able to do it unless you're sending money out. It's dollar in, dollar out, essentially. So if you're wondering how the Canucks can improve their blue line, it gets more complicated, because what money do you feel good about sending out, and what money is going to be appealing to other teams for you to get the money you need or the player you want on your roster right now?
You don't have a lot of money to send out, right? Like the Canucks got rid of all those contracts already for the most part, right? Dakota Josh was on a new deal. There's $3.25 million. Danton Heinen, he's new here. Teddy Bluger, he just signed a new deal. You know, like all these guys that have a little bit of money, maybe that you could work with to send out, like they're kind of big parts of your roster, valuable parts of your roster, and recently signed contracts, not guys you would want to give up on anytime soon. Nils Höglander making just over $1 million for this year. I know he signed the extension, but that doesn't kick in till next year. So he's really just a salary you could bury in its entirety if you actually wanted to do that, which of course they wouldn't, because Nils Höglander is still one of the best 12 forwards on this team. I'm just using it as an example. There's not a lot of money there. So what other options do you really have to send money out? You're kind of stuck. You've got Miller inactive eating up $8 million. You've got Brock Besser, who's not been put on LTIR or anything like that. I guess you could put a guy on LTIR, but all of them are expected to return at some point, so
yeah,
it only gives you
it's not gonna
brief
work.
Relief. It doesn't actually work to give you the cap space that you need to acquire something significant.
No, and we're all talking about Soucy and how he's playing and struggling right now. You're not looking at a player, if you were saying, hey, can the Canucks move him? That's not easy. Myers has 2 years left on his deal, not playing to the level that they want him to be at, right? But at the same time, what value is there in now, right? And I think that's what becomes complicated here, right?
And Soucy's a better player than he's shown lately.
Well, he's going to be fine. I think Soucy is going to be fine. Like, he's going through a massive confidence issue.
Yeah.
I think there is a fair question of, can he actually handle being a second pair full-time defenseman? Maybe not. Because
yeah.
Last year, he essentially played third pair minutes in the playoffs. He was a matchup guy in certain situations, but he wasn't playing 20 minutes plus consistently.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking of him, maybe he's not capable of doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But he is better than what he's shown. I completely agree with that. I think he's going to be fun. I really do. And I think he's going to work his way through. He's too good a player to be as poor as he's been.
Yeah.
Like, he really is, right? And he's not at the level of a Pettersson, for instance, and even him, you're seeing him round into form. And you're going to see this with a lot of players, ups and downs. And, you know, sometimes they happen, but generally, a lot of guys work their way through it. But the help that people want, I think, is just going to take some time. Like, we were kind of joking before the show. Let's say that, you know, that you're trying to move Susie to find a defenseman, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you call Montreal and you're like, hey, we're trying to get Mike Matheson from you, right? And it's like, let's offer you guys Susie, Hoaglander in a first. Well, that's just 2024 Raymond Ballard in a second, right? Like, that's what we're looking at
pretty
here,
much,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, when you look at it, even if you look at, okay, let's see if we can package these guys out, it doesn't really look like a feasible, you know, solution. And is that really what another team is looking at and saying, oh, that's what we want in return?
I asked the Canucks Twitter or Blue Skyers, is it urgent for the Canucks to add to their defense? Jazz saying we have an elite first pair, but after that, it's simply a bunch of 5-6 defensemen. Branstrom is good, but his defensive game isn't strong. The team, if it gets a top 4D, and turns Volander into a top four defenseman, they will be set for years to come. That's where Jazz is at on this.
Yeah, and as some people mentioning, like Desharnais, like I think you might be able to move Desharnais, but it would have to be as part of a package. Like even with Susie, right? Like you're talking about, it would have to be part of a package to get somebody else. We saw how the Canucks moved Kuzmenko.
Yeah.
For Lindholm. We saw in the Horvat trade, the Canucks took back Bevilier. So I think in that type of trade, you could move one of those guys. I think you could with making the money out. There's precedent for it. It's just, if you're looking at the absolute best defenseman or the top targets, yeah, are they going to accept a trade if you're not moving Lekkerimäki or Willander? Right? Like that's kind of what it comes down
probably
to as
not.
Well, right? So it's like the Canucks are in a position where, is this the year where you take that type of a swing on somebody, right? Where you're trading your one or two best prospects to acquire a guy. It would have to be somebody like Anderson or Matheson who has one more year.
Mm-hmm.
But is this the time for you to give that up for those two players? Like, I don't know. I don't think we've seen enough for me to feel comfortable doing that from this team so far this year, right? And it all depends on health. Can they get healthy? Can you count on Demko? Do you feel good about spending assets right now before you see Demko play?
No, I don't. I mean, even just trying to get this team close to full health and see them play a lot better than they have through these first 6 weeks of the season.
I think you have to find out exactly what this team has.
Yeah.
Right now, we haven't seen enough to feel good about it, but maybe they get healthy and you look at it by the deadline and say, man, this team can actually win the cup. And then you have a different approach to it. But I think we're in a spot where it's the same thing we said about Pettersson. You have to ride this out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe on the other end, this team is not going to be it. But maybe they are, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think we have enough, we've seen enough from it. But how they went about addressing the blue line this offseason could be the big, big question that we talk about at the end of the year. If this year doesn't go right for the Canucks, we're going to talk about, as much as they made a lot of improvements as a management team in the forward group, did you get the mix on the blue line right?
Could you have spent some of that money on defense?
Yeah. And it's not like it was insignificant money. Like when you add $3 million to Myers, $2 million to Desharnais, and $1.5 million to Forbort, like we're talking about $6.5 million against the cap, right? So it's like it's a significant chunk of change. Now, Myers is the only one that has more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Forbort's a free agent. Desharnais, you could probably work something out. So you have flexibility to pivot in the offseason. You do. But ultimately, was that the right approach to addressing your blue line? And right now it's not going well. We'll see how it goes over the next few weeks and months.
Always going to be questions about, like, well, why did you bring back Myers? You could have used that money elsewhere. Why not, you know, instead of signing Myers and Desharnais, why not bring back Zadorov with that money? And, you know, in theory, that sounds nice. The money adds up, but Zadorov's a left shot and didn't like playing the right side.
And I think the other thing you have to also realize, and we talked about this heading into the season, the Canucks were incapable, because of their limitations and most teams' limitations around the league, to solve all their problems in one offseason or add all their, you know, all the players they wanted. Let's say that they don't spend $5 million on Desharnais and Myers. Well, let's say that's one defenseman.
Yeah.
Well, you still need another one or two, right? And that's still what the Canucks are lacking. It's not just about, hey, can the Canucks get, you know, one guy? It's, you got to get a couple of guys. So even if you spent on one, you'd still be looking to add somebody else because you wouldn't have been able to get, you know, the two other guys you signed, because you signed three guys for the cost of signing one, right?
Yeah.
They try to do it cheap. So far, that hasn't worked out. We'll see if it can, because, again, I think we're going to see better performances from certain players.
It's still early enough that you're hoping these guys do find their game. Rick Tocchet said earlier today on Carson Soucy that he's expecting him to come out of it. Do we have that Tocchet clip on Carson Soucy? Here is Rick Tocchet speaking of the issues of Soucy and Myers, and specifically Soucy, on how he feels he's going to come out of it.
I think Myers' his game has come on the last couple of games. I think Soucy got to get his confidence up. I think everything is magnified. Everything he does, it's in our net. And I talked to him today. He's close. I would like to see him, and I told him, is just get into people a little bit harder. That's when he's at his best. I could say it at every player, but I'm a big believer is you got to get people, like, you know, you saw the Zibanejad goal, you know. I think it was Rats. Like, you got to take a stick. You can't just be with a guy. I think that's one thing we got to get better at, whether it's Susu or Ratty or whoever, Petey. You got to get into people, and I think we haven't been as good as getting into people, but we're getting better.
So there's Rick Tocchet, and you know, he's not saying and asking the world of these guys. He's just, we need to be better in certain moments, and mentioned a few different players there, included Soucy in his thought on that, and we've heard it a bunch in different contexts and different scenarios when Tocchet's been asked about it. You know, boxing out, take a man. Stop looking at the puck. Just take a man. You know, these are simple things that when your confidence is down, maybe you're not doing the little things well because you're trying to make everything go great. And when you try to do that, you kind of avoid your most immediate job, handling the area of most urgency. And I feel like that's really where Carson Soucy's at, because you know, his game, when he's at his best, he plays a really calm game, actually. He seems very calm, like his heart rate never rises out on the ice. And we haven't seen that from him this year for whatever reasons. And coach seems to think it's a crisis of confidence.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, I mean, I refuse to believe that he can't handle the puck cleanly.
Yeah.
We saw it last year. Like, we saw a player be far more effective. And I don't think he's a guy that, again, is this bonafide high-end top four defenseman or anything, but he is a clean player who's good defensively and is good at making the initial play and can make a subtle play under pressure. Like, he showed that throughout last year, made really smart defensive plays too in his own end. He just isn't playing with any level of belief in himself right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think those things can wane. We saw it with Pettersson. Now you're seeing him come out of it and how much more effective he is. Picked up 2 points last night. And even then, we're still looking at Pettersson and saying he's not at the level that we know he can still be at. There's still more to his game that he can give. But he looks far better, far more confident.
Yeah.
And at a smaller scale, because Soucy's not that caliber of player, I do think his game is going to come around.
And that's why I don't feel like you want to have, like, yeah, you want to have urgency in improving this defense. I just don't feel like now is the right time for the Vancouver Canucks, given some of their cap issues, given that you're still trying to find out ultimately how good this team can be and how aggressive you want to be in this trade market in order to upgrade this roster.
For sure. And I totally understand. With, we had this one text and it totally makes sense. It says, it's challenging what we're saying. What are you guys talking about? You have to be all in. Like, with the group of forwards this team has, you have to go for it. The first and second round exits aren't good enough. And I agree in general. They should be aggressive. They should try to get better. You never know how many chances you have. But you also have to be realistic. And sometimes a punt is the best thing you can do. And I'm not saying you're there. This is what I'm saying. You have to give it time. I'm a big proponent of making your team better. Like, yeah. I absolutely am. But let's just say, for instance, and I don't want this to be the case, Demko comes back but can't play.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Lankin is not the same guy.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get the defenseman you need? Maybe the forward you need?
Yeah.
And the goalie you need?
Mm.
And is this the year you're going to spend when...
Sometimes it's just not your year.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but I think you have to kind of see where he's at. And hopefully he's healthy, and if he's healthy, then I think... And I'm not saying, you know, just throw anything at the wall, but I'd say you feel a lot better about being aggressive. You can't guarantee health, but you also have to be smart about, you know, where, be realistic about where you are as a team.
And ultimately, you have time right now. You may as well use it to figure out and get some more intel, some more data on how good this team actually might be. I will say on Soucy, for those, you know, wondering, oh, well, you can't just keep playing this guy. Well, last night he was under 15 minutes.
Yeah, now, the only guy who had less ice time was Juulsen.
And it's not as though they gave all those minutes to Eric Brännström. They really just tacked the minutes on to Quinn Hughes. So Quinn ended up playing near 30 minutes last night. I think Forbert coming back will actually help Soucy, because you have a defensive defenseman that you can rely on in some defensive minutes, Maybe that means exploring a little bit more of Branstrom playing on the right side.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Forbert will be able to, because of the type of player he is, take some of the hard defensive minutes away from Carson Soucy.
And that's where Ian Cole has missed. Because last year, I mean, and Soucy only played 40 games last year. Ian Cole was playing a big role for this team, over 20 minutes a game in a lot of tough defensive situations. And he did really well in that spot, right? I know he struggled towards the end, but he did really well. They got Zadorov. Zadorov also helped give them a bit more depth and length throughout their lineup. So, and he, as much as he's not this bona fide shutdown defenseman, he was still better defensively and more impactful than either Juulsen and Branstrom.
Yeah.
Right? So Forbert, it's not just about, you know, he replaces maybe Cole to some extent. You didn't replace Zadorov, right? So there is something lacking as far as the overall support for the blue line. And when they got Zadorov last year, you know, was in November when they traded for him. So there was a lot more as far as support for the blue line. This year, you don't have that. And also your forwards haven't been as good, right? And last night, the other problem to me was you only had one line. And I know Garland scored and he had a, you know, he did the best he could, but every other line got crushed last night.
Yeah.
And when you're not winning your battles and you don't have enough lines that can win their matchups, I don't care who your defenders are. It's going to be tough on your back end too, right? The issue is right now there's a confidence issue with Soucy, right?
Nowhere to hide.
The Kako goal, just bad luck, dude. It goes off his skate. It just falls to Kako.
Oh, he is Ian Cole in the playoffs where like everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
That's bad luck. Now,
he is Murphy's Law at this moment.
Yeah, but the game-winning goal, you had Soucy play it poorly. You had Myers, I don't know why he wants to check take his check out along the wall and take himself out of the play. And Petey doesn't attach to Kreider and lets him come down, you know, wide open too. So, you know, it wasn't defended well by anybody. That's the one you look at. But there's also some bad luck too, as you saw. And again, if Petey actually, and his line was good, but if Petey does his job, maybe that goal doesn't go in. And are we sitting here and talking about, you know, how catastrophic that D pair is? Maybe not to the same extent, right?
Yeah, and there's, as Rick Tocchet mentioned, there's moments that as a team, they can be a lot better. Canuck Central roundup. So increased optimism on Thatcher Demko's return. He spoke with media today after another hard practice. They did get skated pretty hard at the end of practice today. Demko took part in that skate. So it feels like Demko is closer to returning. Rick Tocchet, pretty optimistic. They still won't say for certain when that will be. Demko's mindset is taking it day to day. We'll talk more to Kevin Woodley about this.
Yeah, and it's good news, though, because he's going to be on the trip.
Yep.
And hopefully he's able to play at some point. The coach seemed a bit more optimistic. He kind of said, hey, based on the practices, yeah, like there's a chance. Yeah, it looks pretty close. Like there's a chance he can play on the road trip. Demko far more guarded and as far as revealing when he's going to be back.
Besser status still up in the air. They are deciding if he will join the team for the beginning of the road trip or keep him in Vancouver, continue to skate, and then maybe, just maybe, join up with the team at some point in the middle of the road trip. It was a maintenance day for Filip Hronek. He did not take part in practice. Good news for Connor Garland. They've added a member to the Garland family. It's baby Quinton. And Rick Tocchet was sure to mention that it's not named after Quinton Hughes. It is an homage to the lead character in Jaws, Captain Quint. Of course, yes, Captain Quint.
Quint, whom
we all remember very well.
Yeah.
And also happened to be a captain named Quint.
Yes.
And we've all watched Jaws.
I don't know. Yes. The believe-a-meter on this is not very high for me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. But hey, it's fine. You know what? Like it's the perfect
happy
one.
Happy for the Garland.
Happy for the Garland. So Garland didn't have the baby bump game. So is a baby bump game coming on Saturday?
Well, I mean, he looked like he had the baby legs last night.
He was excited. But he's always been excited this year,
yeah,
right?
He's had a really good season. Also, we'll get into Frank Saravalli's trade target list. There was some interesting defensive names there, but in fairness, a lot of the names we've kind of already discussed here on the show. We'll dive into it a little bit later on in the program. All right, up next, Kevin Woodley on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there, Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drans. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.